This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Got a giveaway here in a couple of minutes. If you're a card collector, got some tickets, VIP tickets to the Front Row Card Show coming to the Town and Country Resort in Mission Valley at the end of this month. That's coming up. Hour number two of Ben and Woods here. Ben and Paul live in studio. Woods live from the heart of Texas, deep in the heart of Texas.
Yes, deep in the heart of Texas.
Did you get your Whataburger yet?
No, I did not. Ah. I did not. No, I was going to get up this morning. It's weird. You know, the time difference here is 2 hours ahead. So the show starts at 8 a.m. here. And I was like, oh, this will be great. And then I remembered, I looked at tonight's game and I go, oh, cool. It starts at 8:40. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? When I was in Hawaii, the game started at 3:40, which was great, but you get up at 2:30 in the morning, so I can't.
What time were the games on when you were in Manchester? I don't know if you were even watching them, but they had to have been early morning.
2 days before, Paulie. Yeah. They're on 48 hours before. it's like, this is crazy. It's crazy. And I'm obviously thankful, for you guys letting me, you know, be able to do this. And I know it's different. I know it's a pain. Thanks to the tier ones too. Got a lot of DMs already. My dad's doing great, man. He's up and around this morning. He seems to be in a lot better spirits. I'm not going to take full credit for it, of course, but, he'll be ready for me to go after a couple days for sure. You know,
I have that effect. Maybe after our 8 o'clock segment today.
Oh, maybe. That could be the one that sends him over the edge. he's like in the files. He goes, I found some transcripts from Loyola. Remember when that teacher gave you a D and we had to write all those letters and threaten legal action? He's got them.
For what
purpose? I forgot
about
it. I have no idea, Benjamin. And I go, all right, well, I'm going to need them. And then can we please get rid of them? Oh, look at that. I sent this to Paulie this morning. How crazy is this picture? It is 40 years old, and it's a picture I drew for him when my mom and him started dating.
Wow.
They got married in 1985. And it says, to Gary from Steven. And it's a picture of like a left-handed pitcher. What's the number on there?
23? Yeah, so Fernando Tatis Jr. jersey.
Yep.
Before Fernando was even born.
Right.
Yeah. And so I drew that picture for him 40 some odd years ago, and he saved it. Isn't that incredible?
That is awesome.
So I got a lot of, this week we have a lot of memory lane stuff. There's a lot of funny pictures, of me around. There's a lot of funny stuff, and, we'll have some fun with it this week for sure.
So Saturday night, we show up at our, Moneyline viewing, party in Encinitas, and I'm there 20, 25 minutes early. The parking lot's already full. Tier ones are taking over the place. Every table is full of tier ones when I walk in. It was an incredible scene. You guys are absolutely awesome. But as I walked in, and I knew this going into the game, with Dylan Cease taking on Blake Snell, I think I told either Paulie or Woods this. I said, I guarantee you, one of them is not going to show up for this game. One of them is going to have an absolute, like, meltdown in this game, but I didn't know which one.
It had potential to be the worst game of all time. The most frustrating watch. It's the Blake Snell and Dylan Cease are kind of one and the same. Very elite, dirty stuff. Yeah. And frustrating as hell. Full counts, almost every batter. It's tough.
While Dylan Cease has pitched much better in the second half of the season than he did in the first half of the season, he has done nothing to alleviate your concern. Like heading into the postseason and you know, using Dylan Cease in a big start because under the bright lights, the four walks in the first inning, the six walks total, it's just something that is going to drive any manager absolutely, especially Mike Shildt, absolutely crazy. And, you know, he said nothing but great things about Dylan Cease for weeks and weeks now, but somewhere in the back of his mind, you know, Mike Shildt has got to have some seeds of doubt. The next time there's a big start, you know, Dylan Cease against the Dodgers, Dylan Cease in the playoffs, you've got to wonder what is it going to be. And Blake Snell, I would worry about as well. The Padres had a chance to knock him down in that first inning, and they ran themselves out of potentially a huge inning against Blake Snell. I mean, they gave him just an absolute gift. Four of the first five Padres batters got hits in that game. Normally, you're thinking, okay, we're going to score at least two, maybe five. No, because they ran themselves out of the inning, They ended up scoring none there and gave Blake Snell the lifeline that he needed to end up settling in like Blake Snell does and turn in a really, really good performance. But Dylan Cease never got out of his jam. He had a chance. He had Michael Conforto. If he had gotten away with just a sack fly, would have been fine. But, you know, Michael Conforto, as you said, came through with a big hit. And at that point, you knew things were going to be really dicey the rest of that night on Saturday.
I just couldn't believe it, man. The three caught stealings in an inning. You got a guy on the ropes. And I just, you know, I guess Schilte said after the game, no, we saw something. We wanted to exploit it. And again, dude, if you do it, and you get away with it, you're a genius. You didn't, so you're a goat. And I don't mean the greatest of all time. You saw something. You thought you saw something. It didn't work. And completely, you know, you didn't lose the game because of it. You lost the game because Dylan Cease couldn't find the zone. And, yeah, man, of course, it's just going to play into that narrative that, you know, lights are too bright. The lights are too bright for Dylan in those big, big games. So I don't know what you do, dude. I think if the playoffs started today, right, and you had a couple of days off, I don't know where you pitch him. It would be 100% matchup-based. I don't think you can feel confident in saying, no, we're on the road in a tough environment. I'm throwing Dylan Cease. I really don't. I think you would have to move things around. And, you know, he's done nothing really to prove otherwise. A couple of good starts after the break, notwithstanding. But it was really frustrating stuff, man. And then I got to tell you, too, they showed the angle on television of Manny Machado sliding into second base. The dude was as safe as ever
been. I thought he was safe in real time. I mean, I thought the leg got under there, and I don't know what they saw.
If you challenge that and you get it wrong, BFD. Who cares about saving your challenge? The risk-reward in that case, I think, far outweighs it. And I thought it was just very clear.
It's sad that you – now, remember in the playoffs, you do get two challenges. I think if that's a playoff game, you definitely challenge knowing you've got a second one. I do think it kind of sucks knowing that if you challenge something early, even though you think you've got it and you get it wrong, that you're now at the whims of these umpires who are so inconsistent with their calls and knowing, what if they miss like five more calls in this game and we can't challenge any of them? And you're like – you do feel like your hands are tied in the first inning on a close play. I'd be in favor of a second challenge just in the regular season as well. So those close ones that are big moments early in the game, you don't feel like, oh, this is a terrible umpiring crew though, and I don't want to risk my challenge this early in the game because I might need it three more times later in this game because they're going to make more and more mistakes. I think it's about time we had a second challenge. We've sped up games with the pitch clock. I could do with a second challenge in the regular season like they do in the playoffs. If they do it in the playoffs, that means they know it's probably an important thing
that
we don't do that. But then in the regular season, it's like, yeah, but it doesn't matter. These games don't matter because we'll just do one. So I would agree with you. And I don't know that it was a bad decision not to challenge because it was so early, but you know, I agree. I sort of agree where you're saying, Woods, like, take your chances, and if it doesn't work out, then hope the umpires actually do their jobs correctly the rest of the game.
I feel like you just said bitch clock, by the way, Paulie. I really do.
I'm going to assume he did.
We'll go back and check. Bitch clock?
I like that. The bitch clock.
Pitch clock, more like.
It just, listen, at the end of the day, nothing really went right, and you didn't do...
I mean, Jackson Merrill dropping a nearly routine fly ball. I mean, I guess he heard Fernando, and, you know, you want to, like... try to give the kid some leeway, but like that's a ball that he catches 99 out of 100 times, and of course it happened.
And I, you know, was his ankle, you know, bothering him, you know, out there? I'm sure it was. After we found out, we saw what happened. It was Friday, right, when he came out of the box, got his spike stuck, just you know, his cleat got grabbed, just bad luck there. And he's playing on a gimpy ankle the rest of the weekend until they ended up taking him out of the game yesterday. You just hope that it's not something that lingers and you know impacts Jackson.
Why was he in yesterday?
Well, when you're on Manny Machado's team, I think there's probably an intense pressure to feel like I go out there and play no matter how I'm feeling, and I'm sure Jack has that mindset. Like, you know what? Give me some treatment. I'm going to go out there. I played through the game on Saturday. Yeah, I dropped one, but I should be getting better. But he's not. You know, you keep running on an injured ankle. It's not going to get better. You need to give it a few days. The question is, Will he be out of the lineup today and tomorrow? Does he need a 10-day stint on the injured list to get right? I mean, you can put Ramon Laureano in center field. He's played tons of center field in his career, so that's not – you have the ability to do that and try to get Jackson Merrill right for the rest of the season, but you also miss, you know, Jackson Merrill's impact, and this is a critical time where you'd like to have as many guys, you know, available as possible down the stretch.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a critical time, but you're at a 98% chance or something to make the playoffs right now.
Down to 97 after yesterday's loss.
All right, 97% chance to make the playoffs. And I just, please, don't, I'm not sugarcoating this. They were terrible, all of them, to a man and a manager. All of them did not have a great series. It's okay. It happens. But we all just hoped that they would make the playoffs. And I understand when you do get close to a team like the Dodgers and you have a lead on them, you get swept. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I feel embarrassed too, but I try to remind myself, you know, get healthy, get right for the playoffs, and let's see what happens. You know, and if that means Jackson needs to sit for a few days, that's okay. That's okay. You know, you can win games without him. Yeah, Laureano was wonderful. You're right, Purple. Let me give him and Wandy Peralta and Ron Marinaccio all of the flowers that they so deserve, because those guys were fantastic.
Yeah, and of course, on Friday night, Ramon Laureano did homer off the pole against Clayton Kershaw there to give the Padres a lead in the top of the second inning after Wandy did everything you can ask from him, you know?
I love you, Wandy.
Got all four outs, two strikeouts. I mean, we talked about it on Friday. What were the Padres going to do? And the opener of Wandy Peralta was an option that we discussed, Woods. With a little bit of trepidation, you know, if you're going to throw Wandy against those guys, you're certainly risking playing with fire, but he absolutely delivered and has honestly been a fantastic reliever the last couple of months. I mean, he really has. It's, you talk about the Padres five, the fist, David Morgan's been really good. Wandy's been really good. I mean, they've had seven guys you can count on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Count on out of the bullpen, you know, and over the last now month and a half or so. And Wandy was terrific, did exactly what they needed. And I thought Randy Vasquez was pretty good as well. He could have gotten through that entire 3 2/3 innings without giving up a run, if not for the bunt that just bounced off the heel of Manny's glove on the dive. It's hard to say. You absolutely have to catch that. I think Manny would say, got to get that one. When you're diving, strange things happen. He overdove. You know, you get that adrenaline. I got to get there. And then you end up just going an inch or two too far. But other than that, I thought Randy Vasquez did a really nice job in that inning. That's really the only chance the Dodgers had for, you know, most of the game was that bottom of the third with the bottom of the order going single, single, bunt, single. And then they make, you know, their guys at the top of the order ground out, fly out to get a couple of runs. That was it. Now, I mean, what a terrific job by both of those guys to start the series.
Michael G., you're absolutely right. Yuki did pitch scoreless innings on back-to-back days. Congratulations, Yuki Matsui. I have a rose for you two. It just was not a good series, man. Was not a good series at all. There was a couple of little cool bright spots for me. Throwing out Otani was pretty cool. 1.8-second pop time to get one of the speediest guys on the planet, by about a foot and a half. That was encouraging. Again, you saw some decent bullpen work from some guys, but all in all, man, a really, really rough series, for the guys. And, you know, the lineup continues to be the topic du jour, every day. And I'm really okay with talking about it. I'm really okay with moving it around because for whatever reason, I don't know, man. It's just the confidence. It's not confidence inspiring right now. And you got an all-star that you traded for sitting on the bench most days. And I know righty, lefty, all of that. I've managed teams before, not at that level. I understand it, but I want my best players in there.
Well,
right now we don't have them.
Yeah, I'd like to think, Woods, that they've already been thinking about it. I'd hope that Mike Schilt and AJ Preller, when they have their meetings, that it's something that's already been discussed. I don't know that you change the lineup when you win 14 of 16 games and you're consistently putting 5 to 7 runs on the board. That's not the time to make a big change in a lineup. This series may give you the opportunity, though, to right-size what you probably were hopefully already thinking about, and that is move Ramon Laureano up in the lineup. I would definitely consider moving Luis Arraez down the lineup. I consider moving Jackson Merrill down a little deeper in the lineup. I want to see Ryan O'Hearn, play on an everyday basis.
Nick O'Hearn?
He's a
keep
golfer.
Calling him Nick O'Hearn.
He's actually a PGA Tour golfer from about 9 years ago that I cannot get out of my head. It's just a problem I'm going to keep having going forward.
Ryan O'Hearn,
he was acquired. He's an all-star. You've got to get him, give him a day off against a tough lefty every once in a while. But you don't have to sit him against every single lefty and make sure that Luis Arraez is in that lineup every single day. Give Arraez a day off here or there. You can give Jake a day off here or there. Ryan O'Hearn should be playing more than he is.
The funny thing is you got Jose Iglesias, who is... you give up literally nothing with the glove anywhere you put him, and they've got him DHing, because he's a right-handed bat. So I think at this point, if you're gonna do that, like, get him in the field where he can actually help you beyond what his bat is, which it's not a lot, His best attribute is his glove. So if you're gonna give guys days, go ahead. And nobody's gonna have any problem with that. But for him to be your DH, I don't know, man. Like, I'm okay watching a lefty hit a lefty every now and then. I really am, especially
I'm okay.
An all-star.
Iglesias has been good with the bat lately. I mean, it came through with
fine.
Drove in the tying run yesterday when he pinch hit, didn't get a hit, but did get the ball where he needed to score that run. He's been solid.
He's very valuable.
Yeah,
he's very valuable. But his biggest value is probably his glove. No, and so you have the ability to get guys off their feet. You can do that. But I think, when you trade for Ryan O'Hearn, I know he said when he got here, use me how you want to use me. It hasn't been much. And I think he's a valuable player. I think he's a dog. I mean, I think we all agree that's the guy in there that will give you a really, really good AB. He fights. He wants it. All of that stuff. So I'm surprised he's not in there more than he's been. But hey, listen.
It doesn't feel like it's a Moneyball situation. I want Hatteberg first. He's like, well, too bad. I ain't playing him. Doesn't feel like that. But it is like... I was wondering it all weekend. I've been wondering it pretty much most games since the trade deadline. I'm like, why did you go out and get this all-star slugger if he's just going to come off the bench every other game?
Well, and Wesley, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. He says, we're talking about Iglesias making the big hits. Now we lose 3 in a way. We want to sit him. I didn't say sit him. I actually said put him in the field. Put him in the field where he's extremely valuable with the glove. Give Manny a day off. Manny's been scuffling like a mother right now. So, Jose Iglesias can come in. He gives you a really, really good glove every position he plays. It's okay to sit Luis Arraez. I know he's a winning player, according to Schilt. That's what he always says about him. But he looks like he could use a day, too. And people need to be unselfish at this point in the season, right? Like, we're trying to win a World Series here. So you got to keep moving guys around until you find a formula that works. And don't be afraid to move it around.
Now, we'll see. Well, I'm curious. Tonight would be a night where you might make a change. And we'll see what happens when the lineup comes out this evening. Right now, I got a pair of VIP tickets to give away to the Front Row Card Show at the Town & Country Resort, August 30th and 31st. If you want to start dialing, we'll take the fifth caller, 833-288-0973. Join more than 400 vendors of sports cards, Pokemon, comic books, autographs, and other collectibles. Vendors are buying with cash, so bring your collection to the show. If you want to sell tickets at frontrowcardshow.com or win them right here at 833-288-0973. We'll come back with Don't Do This, including a batter that got so frustrated that he nearly committed assault with a deadly weapon. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Quickly, gang, wanted to tell you, if you're trapped in a high-rate mortgage, if you're watching your hard-earned money vanish every month, stop. Right now at Loan Pronto, they're delivering the lowest mortgage rates in 3 years. Loan Pronto's rate reduction home loan program, it's streamlined, it's low-cost, it's a way to slash your house payments by hundreds of dollars a month. Who couldn't use a break like that? Lock in a fixed rate as low as 4.99% APR close in as little as 2 weeks. No appraisal needed in most cases. And here's the kicker. What about skipping your next two house payments entirely? Get back on good, solid financial ground. Rates this low will not last. Call Loan Pronto now for your free, no obligation quote. Loan Pronto is incredible. Lower payments, more money in your pocket, and a fresh start with a better mortgage. Call 619-207-4336 or go to loanpronto.com. Lock in that new low rate. Skip those next two payments. Don't let those high rates hold back. 619-207-4336 or go to loanpronto.com right now. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
Don't do this. It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, quick DDT, and then we'll see what Craig Elston brings this morning. Looking forward to Craig's appearance in about 10 minutes. Don't do this. Brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust Your Will online at trustandwill.com.
This.
He's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. There's just like a half-second delay between me and Woods in Texas,
it's which
better is
than
fine.
It was in Hawaii.
That's true. It was further away in Hawaii. This is just a quick personal one. I mentioned I was in the hospital all day yesterday with my son, who is doing better, and I'm going to go check on him in a couple hours here before the end of the show. But I still can't believe we're in the year 2025, and all they have to sit in is metal folding chairs. Metal folding chairs should be, like, banned from planet Earth. No one ever wants to sit in a metal folding chair. I mean, there's not even padding on it. It's just a metal folding chair. Old school metal folding chair.
You can get away like with the padded chair that you see like the NBA benches
or
something.
It's made out of metal, but they've got the padding on it. No padding. Just metal for about 13 hours yesterday.
That sounds awful.
That is horrific, dude. Absolutely horrific. Also, if we're banning things, can we get rid of CarPlay in the rental car? CarPlay? You guys know what CarPlay is?
Yeah.
I use it every day.
For your phone. It's,
I couldn't get my CarPlay to work for like half a day, and I was going ballistic.
It's maybe the worst invention of all time, but I digress. We can do another segment about CarPlay and how frustrating it is. But let's get don't do this. Yeah, it's terrible. Victor Robles, who's a Seattle Mariners outfielder, he got thrown out of a minor league game after he did something that is one of the biggest no-nos in baseball. He threw his bat at the starting pitcher who had just drilled him in the hand. I think it was his fifth time in 15 rehab ABs that he had been hit with a pitch, and he was over it. He gets up and in. He kind of swings at the pitch, but he goes up and in, and he just picks his bat up, and he goes straight overhand, and boom, throws the bat at the pitcher. It's just something you never want to see, right? Never, ever, ever, ever want to see that. He did apologize. He went to Instagram and said, I want to take a moment to sincerely apologize for my recent reaction on the field. I let my frustration get the best of me. I understand how that may have affected not just the game, but the energy and respect we all work so hard to maintain. Coming off a long rehab, being away from the game for most of the season, been physically and mentally challenging. Adding to that, the recent passing of my mother has been incredibly hard. I've been doing my best to hold it together. It's not an excuse, but some context. I feel you deserve to understand where I'm coming from. So he he apologized, but oh my God, dude. Through the bat.
That is not something you expect to see. That's like, hey, watch this hit by pitch, but you're not going to believe what happens next.
The umpire almost looked surprised for a second, and then he did quick ejection, as you would. And then he thought, should I get in front of him and stop this fight? And he did for like half a second, and then he realized,
screw it.
You know what? I'm fine. Just go let him run right by me and you know, go try to attack. Let some of the other guys step in and stop him. I don't get paid enough as a minor league umpire to break up this fight, and just kind of backed off.
See some comments in the chat. Tatis, take notes. I would like to see Tatis do that.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to see him banged for a week, that's fine. Yeah. Have him throw his bat. But
I mean,
he
what kind of suspension is that? That's got to be more than
feels like a week, not a day.
Yeah,
yeah. He threw the big tub of Gatorade, like not the big giant tub, but like the handle that has all the different Gatorades in it. He picked it up, threw that on the field as well. I think he was pretty pissed. You know, again, trying to get back, you're rehabbing, and it's like, oh man, like got me again. So it is tough. It's not worth a suspension, guys, for Tatis to do that. It is not.
All right, finally a little doo-doo this for a Monday.
DD mega doo-doo.
You know, I'll give MLB credit when they deserve some credit. They pulled off another successful Players Weekend culminating in the Little League Classic yesterday in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, where the New York Mets beat the Seattle Mariners 7-3. Cool touches throughout the weekend with the personalized bats and everything. I really enjoyed that. And the players just, they do get into that weekend in Williamsport. I saw a bunch of fun sights like Julio Rodriguez with the Washington team from the Little League and going down the hill and taking selfies at the game. And then at the end, after the Mariners and Mets wrapped up their game in Little League fashion, they did the handshake line across home
so
plate.
Cool.
Handshake, high
good
five,
game,
handshake, good game, good game, good game.
F you, good game, good game, you suck, good game, good game, good game. Kiss my kiss his ass, kiss your own ass.
Kiss his ass. I almost tweeted this weekend after the Padres were just futile, you know, really at the dish. Maybe we go back to the bats that we were using that had the hits in them. I know that you like your, I like your pencil and your lightsaber and everything else, but like if I'm hitting well, I'm probably just going to go with the standard brown old hickory or Louisville slugger or whatever I was that was helping us win ball games and not the, you know. In my bat would just be one bit. It would just be Ben's body is what it'd be. Ben would be my bat. It would be elite, my Players Weekend bat. But, yeah, you know, you take a couple 0 for 4s, a couple ground into a double play. I'm going back to the old hickory or whatever I'm using.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, you all know Craig Elston, you know, used to work here with us, now Padres Hot Tub Podcast. He does not pull his punches generally. Curious to hear what Craig has to say about the weekend that was in Los Angeles.
I was texting with Craig yesterday. Stay tuned.
Oh, Dominic's got a good idea. Right. My calves as a bat, in
ooh,
bat form.
Like that. I like that.
Though it would almost like look like a torpedo bat, I would think, when you put the calves in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big, thin. They're like, sir, yeah, that barrel is way too big. Way too big.
Looks like one of those orange
incredible
plastic bats,
yeah,
that you played with,
yeah,
as a kid.
Big, yeah, those, yeah, that you used with the wiffle balls, but the big ones, not the,
yeah,
skinny ones. All right, we will talk to Craig Elston when we come back. Don't go away. Ben and Woods continuing here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
First, though, another chance to tell you about 7 Mile Casino on a Monday morning. Now, you've really got two options if you want to play cards in San Diego. You can hop in your car, and wherever you are, you can drive out 45, 55 minutes, an hour or more, deep into the East County, and find one of those casinos that do have a card room and play there, but then you're going to have to drive all the way back. Or you can hop on the 5 freeway, head south to Chula Vista, 7 miles south of downtown, and play at the more upscale, better card room, and have way more time to play because you're not spending the entire afternoon or evening in your car.
I just really like ease of use. I really do. I like that when things are easier. The parking is easier. It's just an easier place to navigate. It's an easier place to navigate to. They take such good care of you when you're there. If you're a high limit player, they will take your action as well, obviously. They will take care of everybody that goes into 7 Mile Casino, whether you're coming in for lunch, a drink, whatever it is. If you're sitting down to play California style blackjack, they treat you the same. Check it out for yourself. The convenience is what we love the most. 7 Mile Casino is just 7 minutes from downtown.
You can tune into the Manager's Report with Mike Schilt this Friday at 9 a.m. here on Ben and Woods. The Manager's Report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925.
Should be a fun conversation.
Or you can just drink,
yeah,
tap water out of bottles in the fridge.
That's right.
At Woods' parents' house. That's the other option. I think with Mike Schilt coming on Friday, that'll obviously be game one of the home series against the Dodgers. There will be some interesting questions for the skipper. And, you know, we will be, as we always are, very respectful of the man. He has earned, I think, a lot of respect here in San Diego with the job he has done these last couple of years. But there are questions, and we'll see what he does the next 4 days as well.
I had people tweeting me Saturday in the middle of the inning, the middle of the game, fire Mike Schilt, fire Mike Schilt, fire Mike Schilt. Like, whoa, wow.
That's crazy. All right.
It's a very short memory that we have. I mean, team made up 9 games in 6 weeks, which is no small feat. But, yeah, listen, it's done for me lately business, as we know.
All right, we've got Craig Elston standing by. See what he thinks about that ugly weekend in L.A. That's coming up right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And joining us right now, I forgot he doesn't have open music. We need to get Craig some open music here, is Craig Elston, Padres Hot Tub Podcast, Cro-Maniacs, and Crossing Streams. Good morning, Craig. We're all a little flustered after what happened this weekend.
Understandable, guys. As we like to say, and is now available on a Padres Hot Tub mug that you can buy on our website, baseball is stupid and no one should watch. And
100%.
It's never been truer than this weekend.
No, it's the worst sport of all time. I don't know why we do this to ourselves every year. But, you know, I did see Craig. I mean, obviously, when you play the Dodgers and you lose, you kind of fumble the bag. Really, all three games, there was stuff that you could look to and say, yeah, that's not Padres baseball. Give me kind of your overarching thoughts. You know, the sun did rise this morning. Everyone's life will continue. And you got a series against the Giants you should win. But have you calmed down much since yesterday?
Yeah, you know, the only time I was upset was the first two innings on Saturday, to be honest. And I turned that game off in the middle of the second inning. And went to go watch something way, way better, the San Diego Wave, picking up a huge win over Bay FC that night. That was a much more pleasant watch down the line. The Padres played competitive games on Friday and Sunday. The team went 3-for-20 with runners in scoring position. Manny failed basically at everything the entire weekend.
Every opportunity.
He got one hit and got thrown out at second base, you know, seconds later. So, you know, just a disaster series for a couple of players on the Padres. A tiny bit of perspective. When we met this time last week, the Padres were two games out of first place. And they achieved neutrality last week. They are now still two games out of first place. So, in reality, that's probably a result a lot of us would have taken. Getting started on a six-game road trip through the division to come back having not lost any ground, and it could have just played a different way and been exactly the same. Nonetheless, obviously a missed opportunity and a deep reminder that for all the talk that LA has about, oh, well, you know, the Padres are so singularly focused on us, that's projection, gang. The Dodgers are singularly focused on the Padres. And they are a team that has spent $500 million in order to create an NBA-style regular season where they play at about 35% capacity the entire year, with the exception of our games, when they either have to get up for a game or when we come to town or they come to our town and they get up for us. And their only goal is to put their best playoff roster out there a week before the season ends and be a killer in the playoff. And I think that was a reminder this week. LA gets up for us even more than we get up for them.
That is true. Craig makes an excellent point. In terms of strategically, the Dodgers do a lot more strategically against the Padres than the Padres alter their plans. Mike Schilt doesn't alter his plans really at all. He just goes
for
like
it,
he just goes. The Dodger series is just like a Giants series,
correct.
Is just like a Rockies series, and they take every game like one of 162. The Dodgers, yeah, they punt a lot of games throughout the year. You know, they'll throw bad pitchers and not their best bullpen arms because they really don't care. But in the games against the Padres, they will go with the highest leverage matchups, the best arms. They were able to work it. So these six games, they got six of their best starting pitchers going in this series. The Padres don't do it that way. It's really, you're right, Craig, it's the Dodgers who absolutely circle these games on their calendar more than the Padres do.
They do, and they know that they have the ability to do it because they literally spend twice as much money as any other team in Major League Baseball. I guarantee you half the relievers that are on their injured list right now could pitch. If they needed them to come out and throw a game tomorrow, they could pitch. But it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. Wait. We'll wait. We'll pick you up 2 weeks from September, and we'll go away. Padres fans should not panic about this. I want to get into two things real quick, and I know we're going to talk SDFC. First, for each of like the last four seasons, the Padres' playoff odyssey was guaranteed to run into LA because LA was sitting with the best record in the league. And so it was like, well, that's cool. You're a wild card. You're going to win a series and then you're going to play LA. They don't have to do that this year. The way things are shaking right now, San Diego could play Chicago in the first round of the playoffs, maybe as the home team, right? You're just a couple of games, a nice little push away from getting back to that four spot. You could play Chicago with home field advantage in the first round, take on Milwaukee in the second round, which I know they've won like 11 out of their last eight games. They're just ridiculous how they're playing. But look at their team. Look at our team. You're going to feel okay in a Milwaukee series. The Dodgers could be on the other side of the bracket for the first time this decade and maybe just lose to Philly or the Mets. And you could have a path through where you don't even see LA. So people should keep in mind, it's not inevitable. Oh, well, we're just going to lose to LA. You could actually not face them. But there are some things that you can take away from this series that the Padres front office and coaching staff could act upon. And number one for me is, and I heard you guys talking about it earlier in the hour, you cannot trust Dylan Cease in a playoff game. The stage is too big for the man. The Padres' playoff rotation going into the playoffs needs to be Pivetta, King, Darvish. And it might be Cortez four. Cease might be a long man on this.
Yeah.
Now, and I know they're not going to do it. Okay, that's the next thing I'm going to bring up.
No,
I know
they
they're not going to do either. I know they're not.
Would you rather see a bullpen game even over Cease?
Yes. Dylan Cease is an automatic loss when you pitch him in the playoffs. He does every pitch on Saturday was either completely non-competitive out of the zone or middle.
Well, I would push back and say that what Paulie said, I think every game's a bullpen game in the playoffs, essentially. You do not have to stick with your starter in any game. And Dylan Cease will pitch for the Padres in the playoffs, but it may not be more than two or three innings, whether it's the first three, or you can have him out of the bullpen. I think the Padres treat the playoffs this year, Craig, like every game is essentially a bullpen game with the number of days off, your high leverage arms. You'd be crazy not to use all of those guys in almost every game, at least for the first two rounds. You know, when there's plenty of days off, you'd be crazy not to use them in every single game.
Oh, absolutely, and they will, and I agree with that, but I don't necessarily like falling behind 3 or 4-0 because we started Dylan Cease just to, give him his opportunity. We need to be less precious about the players that are leaving our team at the end of the year.
Yes.
Okay, Dylan Cease is leaving this team at the end of the year. We don't need to worry about his ego. Now, the true fatal flaw of the San Diego Padres this season is probably power. They're second to last in the league in home runs. They lost yesterday. The Dodgers got all their runs on homers. And since June 1st, Fernando Tatis Jr. has hit 4 homers in 300 at-bats. 300 at-bats. So now I truly believe, will reveal at the end of the year that he has been playing with injury and that he is actually just completely revamped his game because he knows he can't hit home runs right now. He physically can't do it. And so he's become a great leadoff hitter and a tremendous defender for this team. There's no slight on FTJ. I think he's hurt. But
shoulder maybe or something like that? Like,
or maybe the result of one of those hit by pitches. Maybe it did something into his wrist or his hand. Okay. But he is your number one power source on this team. And it's unplugged. It's unplugged. So you could just lose in the playoffs because you don't have enough power, which leads to number three. Objectively, Luis Arraez should not be starting on this team. This team would be better off with Ryan O'Hearn and Gavin Sheets in the lineup every day. That would increase the power of this lineup significantly. And O'Hearn is by yards and miles a better defender at first base than Luis Arraez. Again, I know they are not going to do it. They're going to queue spot. They're going to keep him at first base. And he's going to play there every day until the end of the year when he is a free agent and he leaves this team. But it's not the best objective lineup for San Diego. They're better off with more power with O'Hearn batting second and Sheets in there in the DH spot and Laureano as well. Now, that's a move they could make. They're not going to. But they could, just like they could devalue Dylan Cease's pressure innings in the playoffs. They probably won't, but they could. And those are two moves that would improve San Diego's opportunity to win in the playoffs.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with everything you just said. And what better time than the present right now, Craig? Now, let's get to some SDFC, because that's a team that has not disappointed us. And I know we only got a few minutes left, but let's get to their another huge, huge road win
Unbelievable, guys. And Marcus Ingvartsson is the player this year that has had the most star-crossed season for San Diego FC. Supposed to be their center forward, supposed to be one of their leading attackers for the year. Starts the season injured, barely plays, then misses multiple months. Finally gets back in the lineup. He subbed in yesterday in the 67th minute, comes up with the huge header in the box to tie things up, and then a beautiful pass to Spring Dryer on the counterattack for that goal. Two goals in the 86th minute. SDFC wins, and now they are tied with FC Cincinnati with 52 points for the most points in MLS. They've got a real shot at Supporters' Shield in their first year. But guys, they're one win away from setting the MLS record for wins in a season by an expansion team. I think they're 5 points from setting the all-time points record for an expansion team. They're going to blow those numbers out of the water. And as mentioned, Wave won up in that very same stadium, PayPal Stadium up there in San Jose, 2-1 on Saturday night. So both of our pro soccer teams in great position. SDFC first place, Wave knocking at top three. It's a really exciting summer for San Diego sports. We got a great baseball team, two great soccer teams. You know, this weekend, bad for the baseball team, but just an incredible summer for our sports.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Craig. I believe either you mentioned it or Darren mentioned it. In the playoffs in MLS, if you finish first, and SDFC now has a bit of a cushion even in the Western Conference, do you get a bye or you get to face a team that has to basically play a wild card team essentially coming in the first round? It's an advantage to finish first for sure.
Well, it's a huge advantage. It's akin to the NFL now, Ben, because nine teams make the playoffs. So two will face nine, three will face eight.
And you get a bye.
And one just sits out the first round. So it's a gigantic advantage. And, of course, being home is a gigantic advantage. But maybe not for SDFC. They are 6-0 in their last six games away. So maybe they're doing too good for their own good.
And, of course, now you're going to have the football team playing on that field with the Wave, with SDFC, going to change the conditions at Snapdragon Stadium the rest of the season as well. So we'll keep an eye on that, especially starting these next couple of weeks.
Guys, a quick plug on my way out. This week's Padres Hot Tub, we recorded it yesterday. I don't know if you guys know Drew Deckman, the celebrity chef.
Oh, yeah, he Deckman. Petco.
Yeah. Yes, he's got the restaurant at Petco. Joe Musgrove is the co-owner of his 3131 restaurant in North Park. A six-time Michelin star chef, huge Padres fan. He was our guest yesterday on Padres Hot Tub. So, after we get done bitching about the Dodgers on the show, stay tuned because it's just an incredible conversation with someone who has made cooking his life's passion and pursuit. I am fascinated by celebrity chefs.
You cooked today, Craig.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Chat, Craig.
See you next Monday.
Outstanding appearance by Craig Elston this morning. He brought the heat, as we imagined. Okay, we'll come back. As Woods teased, he's got the list.
I got the list.
Gary's list. I can't wait to hear what is on this list. When we come back, hour number three, Ben and Woods continuing here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.